The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning, and welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We're located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania, but this morning, thanks to the magic of the internet and Zoom and our wonderful tech team, we are as close as your home. We are a Unitarian Universalist congregation dedicated to nurturing the spirit and transforming the world. I'm Preston Lutweiler, President of the Board of Trustees, and I want to personally welcome you this morning. Wherever you are in your life journey, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, whomever you love, whatever your gender, identity, or expression, we welcome you into our ever-expanding circle of compassion and caring. If you're visiting us today, you will notice in the Zoom chat a link to our virtual visitor card. This is a way for you to connect with us and us with you, so please fill it out at any time during the service. Now, the Soul Matters theme for January is living with intention, and our sermon today by Mark Bernstein is about paying attention. Mark will begin with a reading from Reverend Danielle DeBona.
Thank you, Preston. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you. So these are the words of Reverend Danielle DeBona. I have a Unitarian Universalist theology of hope, and it is based on my belief that being present in this very moment is the way to peace. What I know for sure is that we are only promised the moment we are in, and that is enough. It is enough if we fully embrace it without distraction. The words of Reverend Danielle DeBona.
And now, Phil Manos will light the chalice with words from Amy Lloyd. Then I will light the peace lamp.
Morning. Today, I want to greet joy. Without a trace of suspicion, I want to open my eyes to the light without a blink of dread. I want to look at my past without a whisper of shame. I want to look at my future without a hint of fear.
After I light the peace lamp, your response will be, and with all the people of the world. May peace be with us and with all the people of the world. Our gathering song today will be hymn number 361, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In, performed by the UU Congregation of the Grand Valley Choir. The lyrics will appear in the video, and you're welcome to sing along at home or clap as you wish, or both. Enjoy.
Open your ears to the song. Open your ears to the song. Today will be a joyful day. Enter, rejoice, and come in. Open
Mark Bernstein is a former member of the Congregational Life staff at the Central East region of the UUA and currently serves as an adjunct consultant. In this capacity, he served as consultant to congregations assisting with training, presentations, and facilitation of congregational meetings and events. Mark's a loyal member of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Delaware County, just down the road in Media, Pennsylvania, where he has served in many capacities since joining the congregation in 1994. Mark also has his own business providing training and consultation to agencies in the healthcare field. We're pleased to have Mark in our pulpit today.
Thank you, Preston. So, why bother? I mean, really, why bother? Why should I even attempt to share my spiritual message with you when statistically, most of you will only remember no more than 25% of what you hear? Even immediately after I'm done this morning, you'll only recall about 50% of what I said. And men will probably recall less than women, since they tend to use only half their brains when listening, whereas women engage all four lobes. I'll let you fill in your own punchline. Over the next 20 minutes or so, most of you won't even focus all of your attention on what I'm saying. A 2010 Harvard study determined that people engaged in mind wandering, that is, not paying attention or being fully engaged with what is right in front of them, a whopping 47% of the time, mind wandering. So why bother? Why bother? I'll tell you why. Because paying attention to what is around us and what is going on inside of us enables us to become fully immersed in a world that is connected to other human beings, to live out our Unitarian Universalist principles, to be happier and healthier, to fully experience life in all its joys and all its sorrows. The beloved poet Mary Oliver wrote, "Instructions for living a life. Pay attention, be astonished, tell about it." If Mary says it, it must be so. But paying attention in this world of ours is not easy, since there is so much competing for our attention. Our busy schedules, social media, cell phones, text messages, email messages, alerts informing us of another mass shooting or another miscarriage of justice. A recent study found that on average, each single minute in this country results in 204 million emails, 16 million text messages, and 350,000 new tweets each minute. The average smartphone user unlocks their phone in response to a notification between 80 and 110 times per day. Oh, I just got a notification. Hold on a sec. No, never mind. Theologian Barbara Brown Taylor wrote, "The practice of paying attention really does take time. Most of us move so quickly that our surroundings become no more than the blurred scenery we fly past on our way to somewhere else. We pay attention to the speedometer, the wristwatch, the cell phone, the list of things to do, all of which feed our illusion that life is manageable. Meanwhile," she continues, "none of them meets the first criterion for reverence, which is to remind us that we are not gods. If anything, these devices sustain the illusion that we might yet be gods if only we could find some way to do more faster." Paying attention, then, being present in the moment, as Reverend De Bona tells us in the opening words, serves to keep us grounded. It compels us to slow down, to stop and reflect, to see things more clearly and in greater focus, to see things as they really are, unclouded by preconceived ideas, assumptions, or biases. In her essay, "We Are Called to Pay Attention," singer, songwriter, and author Amanda Udis Kessler calls on us to pay attention to the people in our lives, to our individual lives, to the society in which we live, and to the natural world around us. Her essay will serve as a kind of outline for what I want to share with you this morning. She writes, "We are called to pay attention to the people in our lives, to celebrate their joys with them, and to tend to them in their struggles. We are called to bring our compassion, kindness, and patience to our relationships, even as we are grateful for the compassion, kindness, and patience others show to us." Paying attention to the people in our lives is a necessary prerequisite for living our first principle, respect for the inherent worth and dignity of all people. Paying attention enables us to be genuine with other human beings, to better understand them, and to better appreciate them. Paying attention is the gift that we give to others. Sociologist, clinical psychologist, and MIT professor Sherry Turkle found that relationships depend on what she called authentic conversation. Authentic conversation. And that authentic conversation requires us to give our undivided attention to others. So if you are at home talking with your significant other and you take out your smartphone to check your email messages, you are not paying attention. You are not having authentic conversation. If you're in a conversation with another person and you are constantly interrupting or otherwise not letting them finish their thought, you are not paying attention. You are not having authentic conversation. Paying attention requires us to stay in the moment with others. It is an active, not a passive process. And often we need to intentionally call ourselves back to paying attention when our minds wander. Now, of course, if we're thinking about our minds wandering and the need to pay attention, then our mind is wandering and we're not paying attention. You see, this paying attention stuff in conversation is not easy. Udis Kessler also calls on us to pay attention to our individual lives, to our delights and pains. We are called to understand ourselves, to take good care of ourselves, to know ourselves. Know thyself. Pay attention to what is going on inside you. Of course, we all need to pay attention to our physical selves. Heaven knows I do. How we're feeling, what we're putting into our bodies, how often we're moving our bodies. But we also need to pay attention to what is going on cognitively and psychologically, to understand our emotions and reactions to situations with which we are confronted. In other words, we need to get to know our brain. That's right, our brain. So sit back, boys and girls, and soak in some neuropsychology knowledge. This will definitely test your ability to pay attention. We're talking about the limbic system, a region of the brain where our emotions reside. It's also referred to as the emotional brain. Within the limbic system are what are called amygdalae, two small almond-shaped structures, one located on each side of the brain. The right hemisphere, amygdala, is responsible for processing negative emotions such as anger or fear and everything in between. When the right amygdala is activated by an upsetting event or a traumatic event, or when we feel threatened, by an outside source, we experience these negative emotions. Meanwhile, on the other side of the brain, more specifically in the front of the brain, lies our prefrontal cortex. This is the part of the brain responsible for rational thinking, planning, and reasoning. When we become angry or fearful in response to an upsetting or a threatening situation, the prefrontal cortex kicks in as a check on the rise in emotions caused by the activation of the right amygdala. The prefrontal cortex tells us to calm down, to look at the situation rationally, to consider the consequences of any actions that you might take. When we engage in self-talk, or even talking to ourselves out loud, or when we talk with others, we are activating the prefrontal cortex. So paying attention to what is going on in our brain enables us to better get in touch with our feelings, to understand why we are feeling the way we are, and to decide on an appropriate course of action under the circumstances. End of lecture. And by the way, this will be on the quiz. Udi Kessler also calls us to pay attention to the society in which we live. She writes, "We are called to understand the ways in which the lives of people we don't know and never will know are made harder by political and economic policies that value some kinds of people over other kinds of people. In paying attention to our society, we give thanks for the many people who are working for justice for everyone." Folks, we live in a chaotic, frequently violent, and extremely unjust world right now. As painful as it sometimes is, we can't turn away from it. As citizens, as Unitarian Universalists, we have an obligation to attend to the issues that affect others, particularly those who are disadvantaged in our society or who are on the margins. I have heard friends and colleagues express their fatigue with following all of the negative events in the world, particularly during the Trump years, announcing a boycott of watching the news. "I'm taking a break," they tell me. "I can't take it anymore." Understandable. But we who hold the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all as one of our principles, we do not have the luxury of turning off or blocking out the evils in our society. We must continue to pay attention, to call them out, and to advocate for a better life for everyone. As an example, and in referring to those who would be white allies, the Reverend Don Cooley writes, "Pay attention and then go educate yourselves on how systemic racism and white supremacy culture are alive in the United States today so that we might be a part of the solution." And finally, Udi Kessler calls us to pay attention to the natural world around us. "We are called to understand," she writes, "how our decisions help the natural world to flourish or cause it harm. In paying attention to the natural world, we commit to living sustainably so that all beings have the chance to live and so that many generations after our own can celebrate the planet and its gifts." The author Hazrat Inayat Khan wrote, "When we pay attention to nature's music, we find that everything on the earth contributes to its harmony." And Lawrence Krishner, a contemporary Reform rabbi and scholar of Jewish mysticism, offers this: "There is another world hidden right here within this one whenever we pay attention. As modern urbanites, we are able to go through our daily lives mostly unconscious of the natural world. Yet over the last 50 years, the environmental movement has taught us that the future of this planet largely depends on our ability to pay attention to this hidden world. If we hope to become responsible stewards of this planet for future generations, he concludes, we must begin by opening our eyes and hearts. We must begin by paying attention. Let me conclude with a quote from the Old Testament, specifically Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. Referring to the miracle of the burning bush, it is written, and God appeared to Moses because he had turned aside to look. Moses could have walked past the burning bush without a second thought, but by turning to look, by paying attention, he was given the opportunity to bring a message of liberation and hope to the people waiting below. We too become liberated whenever we pay attention. We become free to experience the joy and the wonder of uncovering that other world, as Lawrence Kushner put it, that other world hidden right here within this one. Thank you for paying attention, my friends.
And thank you, Mark. Now we have come to the portion of the service we call Matters of the Heart, where we hear from those of you who may wish to speak. As you gather your thoughts, please listen to a musical interlude, Hymn 86, Blessed Spirit of Life by Shelley Jackson Denham, played by Joe McDonald. We will be hearing this song and singing along with it later as our closing song. And then after that, John Sayre will instruct everyone on raising your hands on Zoom to be recognized to speak.
We will bring this time of sharing to a close by playing Spirit of Life. The lyrics will show up on screen here in just a second.
I have the honor of reading the closing words this morning, and they are from John McQuiston II. At the beginning of each day, after we open our eyes to receive the light of that day, as we listen to the voices and sounds that surround us, we must resolve to treat each hour as the rarest of gifts, and be grateful for the consciousness that allows us to experience it, recalling in thanks that our awareness is a present from we know not where or how or why. And now Phil Manos will extinguish the chalice.
With intention to pay attention, we extinguish this chalice, but not the light of reverence, hope, and kindness that we will carry with us into the world.
Now we will have our closing song, hymn number 86, the one that we heard instrumentally during the brief meditation, Blessed Spirit of My Life. This is by Shelley Jackson Denham, and it's performed by Teresa McGettigan, Marissa Pasquini, and Tony Ibarra.